Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It was most likely midday when she went to the well, long past the usual hour when all the proper women of the city would have been there. Unlike today, when filtered water comes at the turn of the handle, this woman and the other women in first century Judea needed to get their daily supply of water from a well located outside of town. Carrying a large earthen jar and a simple leather pouch, they would gather at the well, draw the water with that pouch, and then begin to fill up their jars. It would be a time of social gathering and friendly chatter, but not for the woman in today's gospel. No, she would avoid this group of gossiping women and come by herself in the heat of the sun, when there wouldn't be anyone else around at the well. She was probably still young by today's standards, but she had seen quite a lot in her life. She may have once been a great beauty, for it seems that many men were attracted to her. But after five marriages, she was now living with a man and didn't even see the need to go through with the formality of a wedding. There was no Facebook, Twitter, email, or telephone in those days, but you can be sure that this woman was well known and talked about in this Middle Eastern village. Walking up to the well that day, she probably had her guard up when she saw a man sitting there, as if he was waiting just for her. She may have thought twice before continuing on. It would not be right for her to come into his presence. Customs of the day, and they have not changed very much in the Middle East, customs would have called for the man to distance himself from this woman. Men simply did not speak with women in public. He should have politely stepped off to the side of the square and let the woman be about her business. But not this man. He stayed put right where he was and waited for her. The woman's next surprise was even a bigger shock. This man was not a local Samaritan like her, but he was a Jew. No Jew would lower himself to come into the defiled land of Samaria, let alone drink their water, eat their food, or talk with one of their women. Proper Jews considered Samaritans to be inferior and outside the covenant. They were to be avoided and despised. But this Jewish man remains. And to top off her surprise, he speaks to her. Her, a woman and a Samaritan. He asks her for a drink from the well. By the simple ask of asking this woman a question, the man at the well, Jesus, destroys the social taboos of racism and sexism. He ignores the 500-year-old hostility between Jews and Samaritan, and he actually humbles himself by asking this woman for a favor. You can almost hear the surprise in the woman's voice as she responds, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria?" So how is it that he is in this place at this time talking to this woman? Well, the first few verses of this chapter set the stage. The Pharisees had heard that Jesus' ministry was growing. In fact, he was becoming more popular than John the Baptist, and Jesus felt the need to head back to Galilee. Verse 4 reads, he had to pass through Samaria. But he didn't have to go that way because it was the only road. No, there was another road to the east that completely avoided Samaria, and most of the good and proper Jewish people would use that path. Jesus had to go through Samaria because he had to bring his message of life and salvation to this land and to these people as well. And he had to bring his message to this woman. Jesus and the disciples had walked all morning to get to this well and this woman. It was a tiring journey, for the text tells us that Jesus was wearied. In the original Greek, the word used is kekapiakas. That's really a word. The word means labored. It was as if Jesus and his disciples had put in a full day's work. That very human Son of Man had labored. He worked hard. He had tired himself out getting to this one sinful and despised woman. If you knew the gift of God and who it was that is saying to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Jesus replied. The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself. You can almost hear some derision in her voice as she answers Jesus. Who do you think you are? She seems to be saying. Are you greater than our traditions? Greater than our history? Are you greater than Jacob? Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water. She doesn't get it, does she? Like Nicodemus in last week's gospel, she's still thinking in earthly terms. She's thinking of worldly things and not the spiritual. It's only natural. After a life of pain and scorn, one can understand her asking herself, can this man actually make my life easier and make it so I don't have to come to this well every day for water? But now Jesus sets her straight, and he does so without embarrassing her or accusing her. He gives her a brief command, go, call your husband, knowing full well the truth of her lifestyle. In an effort to skate over the facts, she avoids him. But Christ knows her painful history and brings it out to the surface. And he does not do this to condemn her or point an accusing finger at her. Instead, he does this so that she comes to believe in him. He offers her the free and refreshing waters of salvation. He offers her the fulfillment of all Jewish as well as Samaritan prophecies. What they had been worshiping was history and stories, but now that all would change. The hour is coming and is here now when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. The Messiah is here, and he will be worshiped in spirit and in truth. I know that the Messiah is coming. He was called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. So Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. To us today, who like the Samaritan woman feel defensive, lost, lonely, or despised, Jesus still comes. He's still sitting there at the side of the well, waiting for us to come into his presence. He's there to offer us himself and his gifts of forgiveness, salvation, and eternal life. He continues to go out of his way to seek the lonely, the lost, and the despised. He continues to give us his holy word and his sacraments. Through these, he gives us his Holy Spirit to strengthen us, to lift us up, and to keep us in the true faith. And all this he does freely as gift. And just by chance, if you're feeling a bit smug and self-righteous because your history is not at all like that of the Samaritan woman, remember that our Lord knows you better than you know yourself. Your outward sins may not be quite as gossiped about as hers, but your inward sins, doubts, fears, they're just as dirty. There's no room for judgment or finger pointing. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all are just as much in need of Christ's living water, just as much as the woman at the well was. We all need to put away our fears and our hesitations and walk into his presence. We need to receive the gifts he freely gives. That's why we humbly confess every Sunday that we are poor, miserable sinners. And that is why our epistle text from Romans comes as such a blessing and complement to this gospel story. It is the story of the same Messiah, Jesus Christ, who gave new life to the tortured and sinful Samaritan woman, and how he gives that life to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. If Jesus went out of his way and tired himself out to save that Samaritan woman, think of how far he went and how much he gave of himself to save us. He went all the way to Calvary and the cross. Not because we did anything good, right, or perfect to please him, but he went there because he loves us. He loves us and wants us to be with him for eternity. He wants to bring us all back to Eden, to the perfect, undefiled place where we were created to be. He wants us to be back in perfect union and communion with him for all eternity. So he emptied himself out for us on the cross. And there he nailed all of our sin, the sin of the Samaritan woman, and the sin of the world, so we could stand righteous before God the Father. And there is no better message for us to hear this morning. And at this point in the sermon, it would be a good place for me to stop. But I'm just a student pastor, a vicar, and I haven't gotten to the class that teaches us when to stop talking. Besides, the story of the Samaritan woman isn't quite over yet. And it is such a rich and wonderful one. Everything up to this point of the gospel has been about justification, what Jesus has done for us and for our salvation. And while up to this point the woman at the well is certainly not a good example of how to live one's life, it all changes here. Watch as she becomes a wonderful example of sanctification, what we can do by the power of the Holy Spirit once Jesus comes into our lives. Picking up in verse 27, the disciples come back with dinner, and they are shocked. Like most Jewish people of the day, they are surprised to see Jesus talking with a woman. It seems that they are speechless. One can picture this once despised and rejected woman now lifted up by the presence of Christ and filled with the Holy Spirit, and she's waiting for their comments. When they have none, she shrugs her shoulders, leaves her water jar, and goes into town. She now has no qualms, no fears, no hesitation. She now goes to the very people who've gossiped and despised her, and she witnesses to them. "Come see," she says. "Can this be the Christ?" She does not keep the gifts of Christ a secret, only for her and her boyfriend. She doesn't go to these people and give them a "I told you so, look it, I'm in and you're out" backlash. No, she goes to them openly and honestly. "He told me all that I ever did," she confesses. This message, this Jesus, is too important to be miserly with. He is not ours to keep. Salvation needs to be shared without fear of society's kickback, without shame, without fear of social prejudices, and without fear of embarrassment. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. Jesus went out of his way to spend time with a sinful outcast, a foreigner. He did this so that salvation would come for many, not just a select few, not just those who act a certain way. He came for the sinner. He came for the littlest, the lost, and the least, the despised, the outcast, the foreigner. If at times you feel lonely, lost, and despised, here is your gospel. Jesus comes for you. If at times you feel overwhelmed and trapped by your sin, here is your epistle. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He loves you. He forgives you. And he wants you to work for him. Jesus had to go to Samaria that day. He had to go to that well so he could meet that woman. Yes, so he could save her, but also so he could put her to work. She went to work spreading the good news. Jesus is like that. He loves us sinners, he saves us sinners, and he uses us sinners to spread the message of salvation to other sinners. It won't be easy, it's not supposed to be. There will be suffering, but that just builds character, remember? We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. There you have it. Like a cool drink of water on a hot day, the love of God has been poured into our hearts. Come and taste how refreshing that drink can be. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.